Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Behnke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, July 30th, 2008, officially opens the Packers' 2008 season with training camp and the impending return of some old retired guy. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
Traded Brett Favre to the Minnesota Vikings, and Brett Favre led them to a Super Bowl somehow, some way. I don't care if they got back five number one draft picks. Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy, Mark Murphy would be run out of town.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Corey.
And this is Aaron.
And today, we'll celebrate the opening of training camp, tackle the Ryan Grant situation, and of course, we'll be talking about Brett Favre, like everyone else. So let's get started, and I want to play the rest of that Adam Schefter interview we just played at the pre.
Wow, yeah, the rant about the Vikings.
Yeah, let's do it.
You cannot give the Minnesota Vikings, who are conceivably a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl favorite in the NFC, the chance to go and win the Super Bowl with the quarterback.
I understand
that
all
that. You're a quarterback Schefter for all these years. You just cannot do
okay,
that.
Can we just have a pact right now with the rest of the media, because we here at Packer Transplants, we are part of the media.
Can we just
promise everyone in football fandom that we will never again, ever again, put the words
quarterback
away, Super Bowl, and Minnesota Vikings all together in one paragraph.
I am not so distracted by the Brett Favre circus that, Adam Schefter, you cannot say things like those and get away with them.
I mean, come on. They're still coached by Brad Childress.
Oh,
their offensive coordinator is still Daryl Bevel.
Mm.
You know, they still can't defend the pass.
I don't care
who they got for their defensive line and Jared Allen,
and
who was stoned by Chad Clifton last time we played them.
And let us not forget, they're the Minnesota Vikings.
They're the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, give me a freaking break, people. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of the Vikings. I'm sick of Brett Favre. I'm sick of Brett Favre maybe going to the Vikings. You know, I wrote a post earlier this week. Go, Ted. Let him go. I don't even care.
I don't know, but you can't let him go to the Vikings.
I know, but you know what I mean.
I know there
are people out there who share this sentiment. Let him go. I can't wait for opening night when Atari Bigby takes his freaking head off. You know, I'm so sick of it.
I guess I'm not there from a historical perspective
and from a business perspective. You cannot do it.
No, you can't.
From a personal perspective, I want Aaron Campman to blindside him and just knock his stuff in the dirt. I'm sick of it.
Okay, and
I'm so over this diva.
I do not agree with what he just said. Just FYI, okay,
just for our dear listeners
so
out there,
for people who are sending emails, hate emails to Cheesehead TV, how can you abandon Brett Favre?
Oh.
Do not address them to me. I will forward
Aaron
them to him.
CheeseheadTV.com. Bring it. I'm so sick of it.
Look,
I mean, I'm done.
Look, hey, here, like I said in the blog, and my two things are, one, he cannot be traded to a conference team. Now, a division team. Well, I kind of feel like he shouldn't even go to a conference team.
I hear you.
There's some leeway there. Yeah, yeah. Like, Tampa Bay, that's kind of nice. I mean, I wouldn't mind wearing a Tampa Bay jersey. I mean, and
I don't want to
fuel this whole Brett Favre. They were talking about it on Sportsline even, this whole Brett Favre. We've talked about it before. Brett Favre fans and freaking Packer fans. Okay, the Green Bay Packers in 2019 are going to be 100 years old, okay? I know that's like 11 years from now.
Awesome.
That's not actually that long from now.
No,
okay?
It's not far away.
So in 2019,
I just don't want
pictures of Brett Favre in a Vikings uniform. I don't want them. I don't want them Photoshop sent to me. I don't want them on my MySpace comments. I don't want him in my life.
I hear you. Well, a major step was taken just last night/today in the Favre fiasco drama.
Yeah.
Murphy boarded the plane. Mark Murphy, CEO of the Packers, Boarded the plane, went down there, met all day, first with Buss Cook and Brett Favre, and then just with Buss Cook in the afternoon. What on earth they talked about, I have no idea. How do you stretch that conversation out?
How long do you stretch the conversation out?
All day.
Brett, we really don't want you to come back.
Give me my release.
Brett, we really don't want you to come back.
Okay, give me my release.
No.
I mean, how long do you drag that out? How do you do it? I just don't understand.
You can talk about the family, and then you can talk about Deanna.
Yeah, but does that really
talk
last
about
all day?
Oak Grove High School, about the kids at Oak Grove? One of the kids might have got a diploma.
God bless them, you know? But this is the thing.
Dude,
like,
I wish
I'm
I was
sure
a wide receiver at Oak Grove High School right now. I'm
the
sorry,
thing is
I do.
Like, I'm sure one of the things they talked about in this day-long meeting was not only the relationship between Favre and Thompson, but maybe Thompson's treatment of Favre, Favre's treatment of Thompson in the press lately. I mean,
well, we've talked about this is an opportunity. Look, Mark Murphy has stepped into the fire.
I know, right?
I told Aaron this. Look, if Bob Harlan was doing this right now, he could do like, I don't want to be political, but he could do like Bill Clinton at the end of his term, just pardon like a ton of people.
Right.
Or any president who it's like, let me overturn all this stuff that was really unpopular, but I'll just do it real quick and nobody will notice.
Right.
Bob Harlan could have got away with that. But here's Mark Murphy walking into the job going, holy crap.
Here's a legacy-defining decision for you 6 months into your tenure. Good luck! I mean, that's basically what
he's doing. It's true.
But the thing is, this is, and I wrote this earlier in the week, this is not as many and most of the national media is liking to try to make it out to be, this is not Thompson versus Favre. I mean, Thompson is the driving force behind it. There is no doubt. But
Thompson,
several other people have signed off
like
on
Chris
this,
Hovel says,
including Mark Murphy.
Thompson has got some cojones.
Yeah.
And we all know this.
Absolutely.
He and Mike McCarthy, and I think Mike McCarthy got fed up with the way Favre handled the situation, blame him.
No.
But they decided what they decided. And you know what? In my household, when I make a decision, my girlfriend always gets to overturn me. I just realized I couldn't make that example.
I don't even want to know who the girlfriend is in this situation. But this is the thing. It's signed off on by Mark Murphy, Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy.
Well, Ted Thompson is allowed to make the decision.
Dorsey,
it's not
Schneider,
signed on by
McKenzie.
Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy couldn't.
No, but Mark Murphy gave his wholehearted
support. It's
not
like Mark Murphy could be like, you know what, guys? I think you should take Favre. No.
Oh,
Ted Thompson,
I don't know. I think
Ted
could
Thompson
have some sway.
Made
especially,
the decision,
especially,
and Mark
no, no,
Murphy's
no.
got to sell it.
No, but especially if Murphy had the backing of the executive committee, he could definitely have some sway.
No, here's the thing, and I think this is very true. Look, the person who matters most to get Favre back is not Ted Thompson. It's not Mark Murphy. There's only one guy. It's Mike McCarthy. If Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, wants Brett Favre to be the quarterback of his team, he will be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if I'm sold on that. I don't know. I think he can make a strong case, but ultimately Thompson could still
say, maybe Thompson has decided now, but I'm just saying that had Mike McCarthy been for Favre,
no.
I wrote
that as well. It's like, I think around June 20th or so, there was still a chance.
Totally. And this is all timing, and a lot of people come to this late, and a lot of people don't understand. How did we get to this point? And even me, I'm like, how do we get to the surreal place in our lives as Packer fans? And I know there's a war going on. There's all kinds of crap going on.
Yeah,
but
the economy's in the dumps. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff to concern yourselves about. But, however, and like I told my wife, and I think I told you earlier, I can't stop thinking about this. Like, I cannot pay attention to anything
else. How many times has anyone listening to this podcast, how many hours of your life have been spent dwelling on, watching, thinking about Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers?
It's kind of scary.
Seriously. Sure.
But this trumps it all. That's my point. Like, I thought I was obsessed before, but now, like, I can't stop. Like, I've got all...
Dude, if you're just realizing that you're obsessed, you have problems.
I've got my Firefox up.
Seriously.
And I've got, like, 10 tabs open to every Packer site.
But that's because you're a
refreshing
nerd.
Refreshing constantly, making
sure
I don't miss a thing.
You're a nerd.
It's true. I know. But then what are you going to do? But Because you don't know.
You know what you're going
to
do?
What's going to happen?
No.
We don't know where he's going to go.
You know what
you're
going to do?
No one knows where he's going
to
go.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to listen to Mike McCarthy's quote about where he thinks Brett Favre should be traded to.
Exactly.
Well, as far as where Brett Favre goes or if he's going to go, they're hypotheticals. I'd really like to share my opinion on that, but I'm not going to do that. That's why I'm holding on to this mic.
Okay. Oh, bless McCarthy. That's great stuff. I mean,
it's good stuff. You know what's not good stuff? You and I have been arguing about this all night.
What's that?
The most important issue is Ryan Grant, okay? I do not understand why he's not in camp. I do understand
his agent
being a big mouth, blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. If Ted Thompson wants to win this year, if we're really serious about this whole Ted Thompson winning in this year philosophy, then shouldn't Ryan Grant's butt be in camp?
Sure, why didn't he sign his tender?
Okay, look, if you paid Brady Papinga $3 million in guaranteed money, okay, why is Ryan Grant only worth 1.2? Why?
Because Ryan Grant played 8 good games. Brady Papinga's been with the team for 3 good years.
8 good games that happen to be the second best in the NFL over that span.
Great, yeah, with Brett Favre putting the fear of God into everybody and playing two safeties
deep. But this
is my
point.
I could
like,
run through that.
All these Packer fans,
come on.
You yourself who have said Brady Papinga's worth that money. That's cheap, quote unquote, cheap money, right?
What, $3 million guaranteed?
It's cheap, $3 million guaranteed for who he is, for what he is, and he's and that's not even guaranteeing the starter because Ted Thompson just supposedly signed our strong side linebacker starter.
Yeah, but okay, you assume that. I mean, everyone assumes that.
What do you mean assume that? If I pay that guy money, I'm assuming he's going to start.
We paid Frank Walker last year. How many games did he start? You know, you do the evaluation, you go and you acquire players. That doesn't automatically mean that they are guaranteed a starting
spot. We're paying Brandon Shalar more money than Frank Walker.
Well, of course, but that doesn't mean he's guaranteed a spot. You bring him in because he fits your system and you think he's well.
Although, let's talk about that right now. If you pay Brandon Shalar that kind of money, shouldn't you be running some kind of like tricking kind of aggressive defense where maybe you've got four linebackers on the field? I wonder if we're going to see that. Oh, that's right. Bob Sanders is the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. Not somebody creative.
Now, okay. You and I agree on this point. All right? However.
Can that qualify as a rant?
Sure. That was pretty good. I'll tell you. That was a pretty good one. But let me just say this. All accounts out of minicamp are telling us, and the first couple of days of training camp are telling us, that the blitzes are coming.
It's true.
Fast and furious.
It's true. I hear you, but I've heard that so many times.
I know.
Remember when Slowick became the
coach? Oh, yeah.
What was the
number
one
thing?
Remember week one? Oh, yeah, we're going to blitz.
Well, they did. They blitzed the heck out of Carolina, and we won that game. And then once it was on tape, every offensive coordinator, the next week, as a matter of fact, the Chicago Bears came to Lambeau Field and destroyed Slowick's defense.
It was over.
So blitzing your heart out is one thing.
But I'm not saying blitzing.
And
I'm talking about 3-4 flavors.
And we're not going to go to a 3-4. That's not going to happen.
No.
We'll think we will run a 4-3 base.
That takes too much.
We will still see. We will see four linebackers on the field at some point. I don't deny it.
I know.
I think that'll probably
happen. But when
you're
paying the kind of money we're paying now, what I'm saying is the expectation for the financial investment that you've made is that I want to see the flavor. Well, so then let's go back to Grant. If we're not paying that much,
right?
Shouldn't we give Ryan Grant $3 million in guaranteed money and just say, you know what? We want you to be the running back. Get your butt in camp because the longer you're not in camp, the longer the likelihood is that
of something
your failure.
Injury, something.
Your injury,
this is my point. Both Brandon Chiller, however the heck you pronounce the guy's name, and Ryan Grant and Brady Papinga have put in many more years, have much more on tape, have done much more in the NFL than Ryan Grant has.
Hey, you want to see a tape?
Sure.
I got a tape for you.
What's that?
It's Ryan Grant against the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I got another tape for you. I got a tape of what was supposed to be Adrian Peterson's coming out party. And, it happens to be Ryan Grant's coming out party.
That was good. It was good stuff. I don't deny it. But do it for a full season. Give me a full year. Then I'll pay you. Like, I'll give you five. I'll give you $10 million signing bonus.
I can agree with that. It is the first time. It's unprecedented
to
some
degree. And to have his agent out calling the offer insulting.
It's true.
That's just stupid.
His agent is a moron. I'm not.
He's a complete idiot.
Well, let's talk about positivity.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about off-field stuff.
We're 14 minutes into this podcast, and we're now talking about what we should have been talking about from the beginning, which is the Green Bay Packers training camp.
2008 training camp is finally here. God bless America.
Let's listen to what Mike McCarthy has to say about it.
I just think it's important that we realize it's a new year. You know, last year is really just a reference point. We need to carry over the things that we were able to obtain last year as far as our structure, our preparation, learning from our mistakes, and apply it to what we're doing every day. The Brett Favre scenario has been a distraction. There's no doubt about it, but I think our players and coaches have done a great job of separating it, and that has been our goal. Just we have to deal with it. We have some responsibility as far as the football team dealing with the media, but I think our guys as a whole have done a very good job separating that.
They have. They've done a great job. All the interviews that you've seen from all the players has been just A1, first class, no division.
Yeah, till Brett gets there.
That'll be interesting.
Now that he's going to show up on Friday.
You know, but speaking of showing up in camp and training camp 2008, let's talk about it. Enough of this off-field BS. Let's talk about
the most important position for the Green Bay Packers, 2008, start of training camp. Hey, guess what?
What's that?
It's the most important position 2007 training camp, Packers.
Well, maybe not the most important, but definitely the most concerning.
Most concerning.
Second most.
Left guard. Are you freaking kidding me?
Offensive side of the ball, probably the most concerning. Yeah, you're definitely right.
We've got entire
our
team.
Old friend, Darren College.
And
newcomer, Alan Barber, battling it out.
And
left guard.
Where's the old comer, Junius Costin?
Yeah,
what happened to that?
Where's this guy? I mean, he played last year. He played well, and now he can't get a look in? I don't get it.
I don't understand why. Okay, if you would have told me in 2007, this time, mm-hmm. August 7th was our very first podcast.
Ever.
If you would have told me that Darren College was still on our team right now, I would have said, stop smoking crack.
Now you're being ridiculous. Seriously. The kid's got talent. He's just got to put it together. He really does. And hopefully he'll be pushed this year, and we'll see. But I digress. Another position to watch for, in my mind, is wide receiver number 3 through 5.
In a good way, in a good way.
I mean,
Ruvell Martin coming on. Jordy Nelson, where is he going to sit? James Jones, is he going to take it to another level?
I think he definitely does. People want to talk about how he hit the wall last year.
Ridiculous.
I think that's ridiculous.
He
didn't hit the wall. He was a victim of a couple things.
Okay, of the number one RAC core in the NFL.
That would be the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and of those RAC, I bet he was like a third of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it really was because his
Favre started looking at Robinson more. Jennings emerged. I mean, yeah, he had a little bit of a let up towards the last month of the season, but he lit it up against Seattle. He disappeared against the Giants, but so did Jennings. I mean,
but you gotta be excited about Jordy Nelson in the slot.
Yeah, I am. I am very excited. I'm excited for Week 4 when we play Tampa.
Stuff.
And he can burn Talib again. That'll be sweet.
I want to put that.
We'll
video
put those
up.
Two YouTubes together. It'll be very.
It'll
nice.
Be a YouTube mashup of burning.
Burning of Talib. Another place that I really, you know, definitely have my eye trained during training camp will be the safety position.
Will Aaron Rouse finally show that he's the interception machine that we think he looked like.
I mean, you know, Nick Collins, he's got all the athletic ability in the world, but I just don't think he's got the aptitude. I don't think he'll ever develop a pair of hands that work.
Nick Collins,
you know?
Feels like, I know I was saying,
and he's not a good tackler.
He feels like Robert Ferguson to me.
Not a good
He feels like the Robert Ferguson of safeties to me.
And that's not a ringing endorsement. So basically what you're
Although
saying
Robert Ferguson
is he's
did have an amazing game that I was at.
Yes,
it was the 10th
did.
Coldest game in
yes,
Green Bay. I think it's the 11th coldest game now. It was against Detroit. It was Minnesota. It was amazing.
Yes, I remember
it was
well.
His best game of his career, so yeah. I can't knock him too much. But
well, you can because
you
kind of
can. Yeah.
That's
he's
all right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sorry.
But the final place that probably of emphasis or people that are concerned looking at, and it's probably the most important. That's why I said left guard was probably second most, but probably the most is the defensive line. I mean, my Lord, what a litany of ridiculousness.
What was the reason? I know that everybody wants to talk about how Favre was so terrible in the second half of the NFC Championship game,
which he
and
was.
How Jarrett Bush should have dropped his butt on the ball to win the game. Yeah. And how Errol Harris, every time he goes up against a major number one wide receiver in the NFL, he chokes.
Which he does.
And he did against Plaxico Burress.
Most certainly.
Of all that stuff, what was the reason we lost the NFC Championship game?
The defense couldn't get off the field on third down. We had no pressure on Peyton or Eli Manning.
Their defensive line kicked our butt. Yeah. And our offensive line
got its butt handed to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and, that's all it is.
And our defensive line was not as good as their offensive line. Like, it just
even
wasn't.
Even close. Not even close.
And
I mean, especially just in pass rush.
Johnny Jolly.
Yikes.
KGB.
Yikes.
Justin Harrell.
Oh, double yikes. Possibly out for the year.
What is going on with Packers' defensive line?
And now Pickett's injured.
What?
Pickett with a hammy.
Do we even have one?
Well,
dude, Brett Favre is going to be the fourth string quarterback,
right?
And second string
defensive tackle.
He's going to be the three technique.
Oh my gosh! Well, the thing is, they can still do stuff. I mean, they can have Jenkins in the middle on passing downs. I mean, it'll be all right. They'll be okay.
Well,
I'm not too concerned yet, especially if Pickett can pull through the hamstring issue.
But I'm concerned.
It's getting concerning.
Oh,
and Johnny Jolly
is
not going to get suspended. Just today, they said Marshawn Lynch isn't going to get suspended, and he hit someone with his car. If you hit someone with your car and you don't get suspended, you shouldn't be suspended for having some codeine in your
car. I want to say that that's good, but there's part of me that's like, wait, that's not supposed to be good.
That's not good, but moving on from that, you know, there's lots of other places we could talk about. I know the biggest issue everyone's talking about right now is Brett Favre, so we're gonna end on Brett
Favre. And everybody's talking about Brett Favre.
I mean, everybody.
I found this Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Okay, listen to this. This is the opening of this guy's podcast. Wait for this.
I'm going to start this podcast off with something that if you're like me, you are sick and tired of hearing about, and that's Brett Favre. I have not talked about Brett Favre very much on this podcast because, one, it has nothing to do with the Jaguars, and I like to focus mainly just on the Jaguars. But the reason I want to bring it up
is just told us that you're sick and tired of people talking about Brett Favre.
Brett Favre has signed his reinstatement papers.
You're talking about Brett Favre. Dude,
now, ESPN,
shut the hell up. You keep listen. You keep droning.
That's what everybody does. That's
like
a metaphor. That's a metaphor for the World Wide Web.
Oh my
right now.
Goodness. And you know what else?
Okay. Dude, Brett Favre's like $5 to get a keyword, Brett Favre. It's like $5, dude.
I get it. If you want to talk about Brett Favre, really uninformed, go ahead. But you know what you shouldn't be doing? Speaking of keywords and the World Wide Web, don't start a website to bring back Brett Favre. I am so over.
What?
SaveBrett.net. Bring back BrettFavre.com.
They really have a petition, though.
Oh, my God. They've got 11,000 signatures.
I know. What? Yeah.
Oh, well done. Do you really?
I couldn't believe that there were three sites. And my girlfriend was like,
unbelievable.
She was like, wait, there's only three sites? And I'm like, what? There's three sites where somebody paid like $30 for the domain
name.
Well
done. You've collected 11,000 signatures to stuff Brett Favre's ego. Well done. Somebody wrote on our...
Tell me
obviously
how you really feel
found
about
us
it.
From one of those sites.
No, seriously. Tell me how you really feel about it.
And wrote, well, you know, that just shows that we own the team. Yeah, great. You own the team. What? Read the bylaws. What does that entitle you to? Absolutely
zero.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well done. Congratulations.
Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.